The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
This is Steph, up next at 10 a.m. every Saturday morning here on the Club 1220. It's Voices in the Valley. But first, Rebecca Coles joins us from the Farm Store in Stillwater, Minnesota with Nature's Notebook. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
I am doing well. I can't believe it's already November and we're almost to Thanksgiving. That's just crazy.
I know. It's wonderful.
There's lots to be thankful for. Do you have stuff to be thankful for, Rebecca?
I do. And one of the biggest things that I'm thankful for, especially this week, is that our annual Can-Do Canine Gala is taking place. And for those of you who have come by the farm store, you know that my adorable dogs, Cash and Cooper, are always there, you know, willing to give you a lick or hoping that you'll pet their belly. And, you know, I love dogs. I always have loved dogs. And I had this opportunity to support Can-Do Canines. And it's a great nonprofit organization in which they rescue puppies or young dogs from shelters. They send them off to volunteers who train these dogs who become assistant dogs, and the dogs go for the hearing impaired, their mobility assist dogs, seizure, diabetes, autism for little kids. The program is so wonderful, and when you see how these dogs change the lives of the people that they are supporting, it just brings tears to your eyes. So anybody who has that tender place in their heart for an animal and wants to see that animal, you know, fulfill somebody's life, you can go to Can-Do Canines online, and that's C-A-N-D-O, you know, Can-Do Canines, and you can support the cause by donating, or if you want to come to the event, you know, doing whatever you can to sponsor a dog. So it's a really good cause, one that I'm really passionate about, and, you know, with the spirit of giving coming our way with the holiday season, this is a great way to, you know, share your wealth and your love for animals, which is why, like a lot of the product that's on the silent auction, which is really cool stuff, you can go online and you can start putting bids for that stuff that you want, or you can literally donate money, or if you're an organization and wants to buy a dog, we can help you with that. If you know, contact them, come see me. I will put you in touch with anybody would love to see at the gala, although I will tell you, it fills up fast.
Let me just confirm that website. It's Can-Do Canines, so CanDoCanines.org. That is CanDoCanines.org, and that's the way that we can find out more information about this fabulous organization and even buy tickets to go to the gala tonight.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Rebecca, for sharing about this truly fantastic service that Service Dogs offers. And thanks for joining us here today on Voices in the Valley. Stay tuned for more on Voices in the Valley following local student news.
Reporting from the Shire, this is Alex Schreer from Stillwater Area High School. Sarah Stivland, Mike Paltek, and Jennifer Peltier have been elected to the Stillwater Area High School School Board. Members will be sworn into office in January. The Stillwater boys soccer team shut out undefeated Wayzata 2-0 in the Class 2A state championship game at U.S. Bank Stadium. The victory capped a perfect 22-0 season for the Ponies, who ranked fourth in the nation. A St. Croix Prep senior, Carly Schulmer, finished 33rd in Class A girls state cross-country meet at St. Olaf College on Saturday, November 5th. Schulmer covered the 5K course in 20 minutes and 1 second, the fastest time ever posted by an SCPA female runner at the state meet, and the third fastest time ever posted by a female in school history. Matamidi High School also has their performance coming up. Charles Schwartz's beloved comics come to life in the musical You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, to be performed at the Chautauqua Fine Arts Center on November 17th, 18th, and the 19th at 7 p.m. and at 2 o'clock on the 20th. Tickets are available online at zephyrfinearts.org. Stillwater Area High School will perform the play The 39 Steps. Mix Hitchcock masterpiece with a juicy spy novel and a dash of Monty Python, and you have 39 Steps. With an onstage plane crash, handcuffs, missing fingers, and some good old-fashioned romance, you won't want to miss the Stillwater Area High School's play, 39 Steps. The show will take place at Stillwater Junior High on November 17th and the 18th at 7 p.m., and November 19th at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Purchase tickets at the door or call ahead to reserve. Note that due to construction of the orchestra pit in the high school theater, the play will be held at the junior high instead. This is Alex Rear, podcast editor of Stillwater High School's Pony Express, reporting for the Shire Literary Center.
Local Student News, sponsored by Cameron Kelly of Stillwater Estate Planning. Cameron Kelly's practice includes assisting clients with comprehensive estate planning, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, health care directives, and living wills. He also has a special interest in estate, gift, and income taxation of estates, and trust. Cameron Kelly knows that there is no one-size-fits-all plan, and the firm's planning process is designed to make sure your current needs, future needs, and the needs of your family are met. For more information, call Cameron Kelly at 651-705-6277. That's 651-705-6277.
Today's program is brought to you by Stillwater Motors, proudly supporting veterans and their families since 1922, online at stillwatermotors.com. Many thanks as well to the Judd Orff and Cameron Kelly families for supporting Voices in the Valley as we honor all the branches of our armed forces.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. This is Steph and I'm with my co-host Dee.
Hello.
And we are recording this episode on a Friday because it is Veterans Day.
Woo-hoo!
And today we are on the streets of Stillwater because the city honors those who served in all the branches of the armed services with a celebration and a salute.
That's awesome.
And we're here. We're going to be covering it. We're going to be creating a little audio book of all kinds of fun scraps that you can listen to here the following day. Also, as a part of our show, Dina, we are going to have Noah, a young man from St. Croix Prep, interview veterans at Good Samaritan here in Stillwater to talk about their wartime experiences. So that will be very, very interesting. This is all made possible by Stillwater Motors, the Judd Orr family, Dr. Kelly Seth of Healing River Chiropractic, Cameron Kelly of Stillwater Estate and Business Planning, and Jeff Regal of Waddell and Reed. Many thanks to all
thank
of
you, thank
them.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Dina, we're waiting on the streets here. The show is going to start in just a couple of minutes. But before we cover all the fun things going on here to honor our servicemen and women who have given so much to our country and sacrificed so much, we are going to take a visit to Stillwater Area High School.
Oh!
Yes, I had the opportunity to interview the director there and a couple of students. Stillwater is going to be having a performance of the play 39 Steps next weekend, and we'll be learning all about that. So, here's
what's going on.
Director Griff and the two student actors had to say. I'm here with Director Griff Sato and students Wyatt and Ava. Thank you, you guys, for taking a pause in your rehearsal so that I could speak with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to be here. Well, Mr. Sato, let's start with you. Tell me about the play. What is 39 Steps about?
Well, 39 Steps started out as a book and then became an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And the play, the playwright took the movie and then actually kind of made it Monty Python-like. And it's normally performed with four actors playing 150 roles.
Oh, my
But at the high school,
goodness.
we've lengthened it to include about 20 students.
Okay.
But they're playing over 150 characters. And it's done very minimally, but the entire movie is done on stage.
That sounds fantastic. And I have a couple of the characters here. Wyatt, you play the main character, Richard Hannay. Did I say that correctly?
You did, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I hear that he is quite the ladies' man. Can you tell me a little bit more about him? He sounds very interesting.
He's a very interesting character in the fact that every woman he meets has this special connection with him in some way. And he just falls for every woman, or he at least thinks he falls for every woman that he talks to, until he finally does meet his match, and you know when he does, and it's love, hate, and it's a lot of craziness, but eventually his love life does kind of work out, I guess you could say.
Oh boy, is that a spoiler alert?
No, I wouldn't say it's a spoiler, more because the journey there is what really matters, not the destination.
Ooh, profound wisdom. Not only good theater, but wise words as well. I love it. And Ava, you also are in the show, and you are the head of the drama club as well. Is that right?
I am. It's really awesome to be a part of the show and see what goes on behind the scenes. So it's really cool to see both of those perspectives. I'm two characters in the show, which is kind of exciting to transition from one to another, like two completely people, like just completely different. So it's really fun. I love it.
That sounds like it would be really fun. And if we come to the show, of course, we'll get to see you play those two characters and see the ladies' man at work. And, okay, rumor has it, Mr. Sado, that this theater department has won quite a few awards. Will you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay.
Please?
Okay. Well, we've been recognized by the Minnesota State High School League for our one-act productions. And also, we are a Spotlight Education School. So the Spotlight Education Program is with the Hennepin Theater Trust, and they recognize excellence in musical theater in high schools. And we were awarded overall outstanding production, as well as orchestra, and got recognized for our choreography and technical achievements, as well as our individual actors and vocalists and orchestra members and technicians.
That is really impressive. Okay, now I really, really, really want to come to the show. So tell me, please, how do I get tickets? Where do I find them? When is the show? All those really pertinent and important details.
Well, the show is Thursday and Friday and Saturday evening, November 17th, 18th, and 19th at 7 p.m. We also have a matinee at 2 o'clock on that Saturday, the 19th. But because of construction at the high school, we're actually going to be at the junior high, Stillwater Junior High, performing.
Okay, so let me get this straight. This is going to be a high school production at the Stillwater Junior High.
Right.
So don't go to the high school.
No,
you'll be really disappointed. You'll fall into the orchestra pit that's being done,
that's right.
And it'll be bad for everybody.
Yes.
So go to the junior high.
Yes.
Okay.
And tickets are available 1 hour before each performance at the door, or you could call 651-351-8109. Or we have an activities box office at the high school, and tickets are on sale there from 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
All right, and will you repeat that phone number one more time for folks?
Sure, it's 651-351-8109.
Well, you better get your tickets fast, because by the time I invite all of my friends and family, there's not going to be many left. Thank you, you guys, for the delightful interview.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, hey, ready.
We're now at the Stillwater War Memorial here, waiting for the ceremony to begin. We just listened to the gun salute there down on Main Street.
Time.
I know, it's a very powerful thing.
Very powerful.
And we're looking forward to both. I've heard there's a brass band and there's some inspirational speaking and some other great things to go along to the festive music that they're playing.
They've
right
done
now
a great job.
At
Lord, today we honor our veteran, worthy women and men who gave their best when they were called upon to serve our country. We pray that you will bless them for their unselfish service in the constant struggle to preserve our freedoms, our safety, and our heritage. Bless our veterans for their hardships that they have faced, for the sacrifices they made, and for the contribution to American victory over tyranny and oppression. We respect them, we thank them, we honor them, and we ask you to bless them with peace and happiness today and for all eternity. In your holy name, amen.
The ceremony continues, and they're honoring our current men and women who are serving our country all over the world. Mm-hmm. This truly has been a fantastic ceremony and such an inspiration. It makes me feel very grateful for what these service people have done to preserve our freedoms and to make our country what it is today.
It's very easy to forget in the turmoil going on, but it is absolutely amazing.
And we are so fortunate to have the freedom of speech and to have the freedom to be here on this beautiful day to celebrate these amazing men and women.
Absolutely.
Well, next up, we are going to find out about Toys for Military Kids. And then after that, Noah will interview two veterans at Good Samaritan Society about their
really interesting
days in World War II. Stay tuned.
Paperback writer.
This is Steph. You are listening to a special segment of Voices in the Valley in honor of Toys for Military Kids. Jeff Rigo, financial advisor with Waddell & Reed, extends his deepest appreciation and gratitude to his brothers and sisters in arms for all their sacrifices to protect our country and preserve our freedoms. Jeff is pleased to sponsor this interview with Mike Clark of Toys for Military Kids and supports their efforts to give Christmas toys to military children who have a parent serving far from home. You have heard Jeff before on KLBB as part of the Barn Raising Moments, and he wants to thank all of you who align their values with their resources, making sure those children who sacrifice so much for our freedoms have a better Christmas. Mike Clark is here to tell us more about T4MK, as Toys for Military Kids is affectionately called. Thanks, Mike, for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, tell us a little bit about Toys for Military Kids and how it got started and how we might be involved.
Well, Toys for Military Kids started, it's hard to believe, 15 years ago. And it started as a result of the events of 9/11. And shortly after, a gentleman in Eagan, Minnesota, by the name of Les Hansen, who's a Vietnam-era veteran, thought that something should be done to continue or to keep the continuity together for the families who were being deployed. The children obviously did not go, but moms, and in some cases, moms and dads went to Iraq, and the children had a kind of a hard time understanding that, you know, mom and dad were at work, but what's going to be happening with Christmas? And Les kind of got involved with that, and he mentioned it to one of his friends one day, who gave him $100 bill and said, go out and buy some toys. And Les did that, and 15 years later we have a program that reaches a tri-state area of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Last year, distributed over 2,000 toys to 40 units.
Wow.
And there's all sorts of different ways that people can get involved if they so choose.
That's fantastic. And tell me some things that are going on right now with this toy drive and how we might get involved.
Well, there's a number of different things. I know, as you just mentioned, Jeff was kind enough to come to me at one of the meetings that we both attend, and he's got just a phenomenal event going on at the Ramsey House, which is a Victorian site in St. Paul. It's on December 6th from 6 to 9, and it's a Victorian-era house, and he's collecting toys on our behalf. And so many different companies are doing things like this. It's just amazing to see that just by word of mouth and just a little bit of website activity, people can see what's going on and take part in this and know that they're doing something for the children of our military who have sacrificed so much for us.
Oh, it's just a fantastic thing that you're doing in collecting these toys. You mentioned a website, Mike. Could you share with us what that site is so we can go and find out more?
It's DESEYChapter.org. That's DESSEY Chapter.org, and we're in the process of putting a listing on there of all the drop boxes where we will have collection sites. We're fortunate this year, at least in the initial stages, to have all five Harley dealerships in the Twin Cities. So whether you're in Blaine, Lakeville, Eden Prairie, Elk River, the whole area is ringed literally with the Harley dealerships, and they all have collection boxes right now.
Fantastic. So go on over to the Harley dealership or go online to VessiChapter.org.
Mm-hmm,
wonderful.
Correct.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. This segment of Voices in the Valley was supported by Jeff Riegel, financial advisor with Waddell & Reed and Veteran. Listen to Voices in the Valley every Saturday at 10 a.m. on KLBB 1220. This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley. If you are just tuning in, we are about to begin the second half of our show, where student hosts interview our guests. Today, we've left the studio to field trip to Good Samaritan Society, which offers services and residential living options to senior citizens. Noah, an eighth grader at St. Croix Prep, is here with me today to interview a couple of veterans living at Good Samaritan. Welcome, Noah.
Thank you for having me on here today.
It's great to have you, and we're really in for a treat because we have Walter here as well. Walter is how old, Walter?
Yeah, 9.
Walter is 90 years old, and he is so kind to share with us stories of his years serving as a veteran. But before we begin, gentlemen, I want you to know that there are a whole bunch of people in our community who want to thank you. It's thanks to the support of Judd Orff family today that we are able to do this interview, and so many people want to express appreciation to our veterans. Susanna Sidoti Gordishu, Tim and Debbie Swanson, Dean and Brian Livingston, Gary and Arlene Helene, the Atkins, and many, many more families send their heartfelt thanks and gratitude for your service to our country. In addition, the list just goes on and on, Walter. The Raduns family of Stillwater Motors, Rory from LeBeau's Barbershop, and Dr. Kelly Seth from Healing Rivers Chiropractic proudly support our veterans and express their gratitude. And Cameron Kelly and Stillwater Estate and Business Planning would also like to thank all veterans for their service and sacrifice. Cameron Kelly would especially like to thank his grandfather, Richard King, a World War II veteran who at the age of 93 continues to share the history of the B-17 and B-29 with new generations. So Richard King is right there. He probably served right alongside you, Walter. So I'm going to turn the interview over to Noah. He's got some questions to ask you, and we can't wait to hear the stories you have to tell. Noah, take it away.
Okay. For my first question, in what branch of the armed services did you serve, and what was your particular rank?
Navy. Lineman. Second class.
Thank you. When did your military service begin, and where were you sent for training, and where did you serve after the end of your training?
I was living in Atlantic, Iowa, helping my dad on the farm, and when I turned 18, they snatched me right up, and got in the Navy, and I took my boot camp in Farragut, Idaho. In Farragut, Idaho, I got a 10-day leave, and I come home, kissed all the girls goodbye.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell us a typical day was like when you were in the service?
Get up at 6 o'clock, wash up, take a shower. If you had any clothes, dirty clothes, to come down to the laundry. And we had breakfast, and we went out. Good old drill time. We did a lot of drilling. Got pretty darn good at it. And didn't really do a lot of anything for quite a while. And then they put me in what they call a construction battalion. We built airstrips. Yeah, don't ever get old. They didn't really push a guy around. As long as he did his job, that was all they asked for. As for fighting, there's plenty of that. But that's out of my mind. I see every once in a while where they've been fighting over there, and where did they start fighting at? Let's go back. I got out of the service pretty quick, and probably too quick, but I got out of service, come home, started a rester, and I wasn't going too good, and they called me back in. I went back in, and they put me aboard a destroyer escort, DE-365, and we no more got aboard there. We was gone out to Korea, and I spent 18 months in Korea before I finally got out. They didn't care. I was married, had a child, but that didn't seem to make any difference. And I was colorblind, brought that up. That didn't make no difference either. So I stuck there a while longer. So when I got out of there, I didn't sign up for no more. really, Korea was worse than Japan was. And like the Japanese War, you knew who you were fighting and where they was coming from. Where the Korea War, you didn't know where and who was what and where they was coming from. But I got to say that I could say that I was in the war.
I just have one question for you, Walter.
Yeah.
What's your favorite memory of being in the service?
I think when I pulled in to San Diego, my wife was standing there with a little boy, and he was waving, and I hadn't seen him in over a year. I get you right up there.
Right at your heart, absolutely, because that was your son waving at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you hadn't seen him in a year.
Oh, yeah.
That's powerful and very meaningful. Thank you, Walter, so much for sharing your stories with us. Noah, that was a great interview with Walter, and we're delighted that we get to have another veteran here joining us. So, Miss Pearl, I hear that you joined the WAAC around 1944. What does that stand for?
WAAC?
Yeah.
Women's Army Corps.
Women's Army Corps. Okay, excellent. Well, you're going to have a lot of fun, Noah.
Okay. In what branch of the armed services did you serve?
Army. Basic training in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, then sent to Paris by the way of New York City onto a ship
to a port
in France. Contacted the measles on the way to Europe. And that's true, too. On the ship, so had to pass over at any army hospital as soon as they got to port in Europe, working teletype machines.
So I have a question for you. So you began your military service around 1944.
Yes.
And you headed to Paris.
Yes.
Tell me, what was Paris like during that time?
Oh, Paris, when we went to Paris. Yeah, we went to Paris. And it was a beautiful trip. And when you got to Paris, we saw the big tower, and we got to go up it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun to see everything around it, you know.
Yeah.
When you're up so high, you see so much.
Mm-hmm.
But now that thing isn't there anymore, is it?
Yeah. Why did you join the service?
Because I didn't have anything else to do.
It's a good reason, isn't it, Noah?
Yeah, it sure is.
What are your favorite foods?
My favorite food? Oh, my gosh. I like lots of food. They make good cakes, I know, for one thing.
All right, and my final question is, my favorite leisure activity is soccer. What was your favorite activity when you served?
Study was one thing. And if you had any time between hands, you play games in between or you meet people and try to get acquainted with them.
Where did you grow up?
In Watertown, Wisconsin.
In Watertown, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Was that a big deal to go to Paris, France to serve?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Were you excited to leave?
Yeah, I was.
Were you nervous at all?
No.
Do you remember what you did when you served? What activities did they have you working on?
Well, I was a teacher at the time, but I didn't like that.
Okay. Who did you teach?
The younger children.
Mm-hmm. And did you teach the children of other service people?
Yes and no.
Okay. Okay. Could you tell us about the telephone switchboard that you worked on?
They put me into a place where they have a switch operator. You could have one downstairs or upstairs. It could work. And I worked on the one on the bottom here. And I when they called, and they wanted to speak to somebody else. So I said, just a minute, and I'll connect you with this party. And that's kind of like what I had to do, you know. It was nice. It was really nice in Paris.
That's wonderful. So in 1944, you took off for Paris. You got to go up the Eiffel Tower. You got the measles, had to go to the hospital, came back out of the hospital and you ended up working the switchboard. Oh, well, it's been really lovely to speak with you. And thank you, Noah, for your job interviewing and the good questions that you asked. And so before we end, though, I just want to say to you the same thing that we said to Walter in our earlier interview. There are so many people who want to express their appreciation for the time that you spent in the service protecting our freedoms and keeping our country safe. And, you know, we can't even begin to thank you enough for all of that. And so thank you for joining us here on Voices in the Valley. Next week, we continue reminiscing with residents of Oak Meadows, and Holly Corbett from Capture Your Photos gives us ideas on sharing family stories and photos during the Thanksgiving holiday. Special thanks to Stillwater Motors, Cameron Kelly of Stillwater Estate and Business Planning, Jeff Regal of Waddell & Reed, and Judd Orff Family for their support of Voices in the Valley and making it possible for us to share the story of our veterans and to express gratitude for all they've done for us here in America. To find out how you can become involved with the show, email steph@theshireonline.com. Thanks for listening, and join us again next Saturday at 10 in the morning here on the Club 1220 KLBB.